Well, hello, and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Join me, Sam Harris, on my journey of curiosity and growth. I have conversations with some of the world's most fascinating humans, from billionaires to Olympians, and most everyone in between, such as suspiciously happy people and even a hitman. Success isn't just for successful people, it is earned and you can earn it too. I find out how ordinary people become extraordinary to fuel your own growth mindset. Welcome to part two of my Zach and Jay interview. In case you didn't listen to the first part, Zach and Jay run the brilliant YouTube channel, The Zach and Jay Show, where they take on completely nutty challenges and just have a lot of fun and tell some brilliant stories that viewers really love. In the last episode, we learned how they created a career as YouTubers and their top lessons and tips for success. In this episode, we dive into all the amazing things that they've been able to do through YouTube, and we talk about our shared love of adventure and where it's taken us. You'll learn about some of their harrowing experiences and what it's taught them. And it's a real testament for just doing things that scare you and the brilliant things that happen when you face your fears and what comes out on the other side. So this really is a masterclass on mindsets, if there ever was one. Now onto the interview with probably the sexiest pair of YouTubers on the planet, Zach and Jay. Okay, let's first go into, because you know, you're clearly interested in business and other things besides just making videos. Do you think you're going to maybe start an idea together or some form of business? Because you seem to have like quite a lot of interests. And like I could imagine you guys, you'd be really set up to like actually have a business that you kind of commercialize out of the fact that you've got a huge audience.
We just have kind of created a business. We've created a company called Germ Shield. That is a product which is brass, so it's antimicrobial. You can open up doors with it without touching doors. You can press the buttons in self-checkouts and the Co-op and Sainsbury's without having to touch the self-scanning screens. So yeah, we've got about 1,500 of them landing. I think actually today, to be fair. That's kind of something that we're just kind of, I wouldn't say messing around with, but it's something that we're doing. Like you said, I think running a YouTube channel is the best. Like it's funny because so many people of the media and of the maybe the establishment or the zeitgeist look at YouTubers as little pranksters. Yet when you actually kind of look below the surface, and again, from first principles, it is just the perfect place to start a gorgeous, massive, profitable business. Yeah, there are so many people and so many founders and investors to talk about getting the first few people who love the product. And you just don't have that problem when you've got a huge platform. There was a story that the founders of Reddit would go to Apple stores and put Reddit on the Apple computers and see how customers would interact with it. Like we could easily put up a link to something and have 1,000 people on a website and we'd be watching how they do it. Like we've just got access to people who will believe what we believe. So if we bring a product that's in line with those beliefs and values, then we kind of think that they will do that as well because they've done it so far. The youngest billionaire in the world isn't a tech entrepreneur with a PhD from Harvard or a dropout from Harvard or living in Silicon Valley. It's Kylie Jenner, who's got 140 million Instagram followers, who's a billionaire. She's 21 years old from a platform. The person who is Forbes number one on their 30-30 list for Europe in retail and commerce isn't someone who's a tech genius. It's Grace Beverly, who's 23 years old, who's got 580,000 subscribers. And 1 million followers on Instagram, who's making nearly 15 million in her first year of businesses with two merch brands and fitness app that's got 100,000 or that's making a lot of money. I don't actually know those figures. I know it's at least that though, a month. So she's making just so much fucking money is the point. And she's 23 years old. She doesn't have the biggest following in the world. Like she's got less subscribers than us. She's got way more Instagram followers, but it's just such a perfect place to introduce innovative new products to the world and services. That's the thing that I say to young creators, and it's partly why that's my advice to them, is like, it's don't wish away this opportunity, or don't just like get lost in the source, enjoy the views you get and the short-term money you get, because you can make an app, you can make massive things off the back of it, really.
Yeah, 100%. It's kind of same with what I'm doing, like building my podcasting app kind of thing. It's a sort of, it solves my own problem of like annoyance of not being able to talk about podcasts that I really enjoy with other people, but it's a sort of thing that I feel like my audience is kind of into. It's like a common problem that people have.
No, I think it's a good shout. And I do a lot. I remember saying it to you. I'm always kind of sharing podcasts, and the podcast is so weird. Like Spotify acquired 100 million as a big move. It still just seems quite a crappy little platform for it. It's just podcasts just seem to be absolutely massive now. Joe Rogan making all that money. et cetera. And Apple podcasting is just so crap. So yeah, I think the infrastructure and the tools and products that are going to be built around podcasts is going to be very interesting.
That's a big space. We shall see. Maybe a few years' time, I'll be doing amazing.
Research has actually shown that YouTubers or young people are influenced more now by what their favorite YouTubers are saying than their favorite movie stars. So I think if you went to a venture capital company and said, here's The Rock, he's absolutely massive. Everyone knows The Rock. He's been in all these movies. We want to do a business with The Rock selling protein shakes. That would instantly be such a valuable business. Yeah, if you went to The Rock and said, we've got this idea of something to do with KSI, or like Nico Milano, who's got 2 million subscribers. He's definitely not as big as The Rock, but like if The Rock was his level. We've got this guy, Nico Milano. You've never heard of him, but everyone loves him so much. He can control thousands of kids that comment, to follow. So it's like he's got a huge fan base that love him. They just would not be as interested in any way, shape or form by that prospect. Yet the research kind of says otherwise.
Yeah, definitely. In terms of the isolating things, in terms of just COVID and stuff, how have you guys found this? One, sort of living in proximity, and two, as creators that normally run around having adventure and doing fun stuff, being stuck inside, not being able to do the thing that normally is your source of work. Because I mean, it's potential, like all the festivals this year pretty much cancelled, and gigs and events that you normally break into probably aren't happening. Like,
to be honest, like it took a little while to adjust to the idea that we weren't going to be making that sort of content anymore for the foreseeable, really. But once we kind of like just realised that's the new reality, and we're just doing what we can now to carry on plugging away, really. So I think we're not dwelling on it in any sort of way, but when you ask. It's pretty shite, yeah. It's hardly ideal.
But it's shite for everyone, though. That's why it's not that bad, because everyone's in the same boat with this. It's crap, realistically. I mean, like, if you've lost family members, it's just terrible. We kind of like haven't, but yeah, it's for everyone, it's crap. For some people, it's a lot worse. And we're just in such a good position in terms of, like, we've got food on the table, we've got a little balcony, we've got, like, money coming in still. Like, it's not affected our business that much. So, yeah, we can't complain, really.
That's nice to hear. What has been some of the best advice you've received? Have you had any mentorship with what you're doing?
I do actually wish we had kind of more mentors and people to sound ideas off, because when we spoke yesterday with this channel in America with 5.5 million subscribers, we're quite similar to, when we get along with the guys super well, we've met them a few times and stayed at their house and stuff. And they're always talking about mentors saying super valuable stuff to us, but maybe that's because they're in LA and there's more YouTubers and there's more money out there, and just people know it's a business as opposed to just think it's kids pranking other people. But there doesn't seem to be that many people in London who are interested in providing advice, or that are on our map providing good advice.
Yeah, I mean, my dad kind of back in the day said, work for yourself and you won't work a day in your life. And that's not really true, because I definitely feel like I'm working, but I'm glad I took the advice to do some of it off my own back. Because I don't think I would be very happy if I was just working on someone else's time.
We've got a guy called like George Bettany, who runs a startup called Sanctus, which is like a mental health startup. He's always good to like bounce ideas off. He kind of knows the emotional side of setting up a business. He watches a lot of YouTube as well, so that's helpful. But yeah, I mean, there's things like, so Grace Beverly's launched her clothing business so well into the space, and I've been speaking with her about advice and things like that, of how we want to launch our, not merch, but an actual brand that do well on its own, and we will help sell it. And yeah, I just feel like there's not that many people who've done that successfully in the YouTube space, because it's only really been about like 8, 10 years in the UK, where it's been big or I don't know, longer. But it's still quite young.
Cool. Well, yeah, I mean, I've done more of the business side of things and ran like a business accelerator and stuff, coaching people. So always happy to help a bit on that stuff if you want. Also, my cousin, GeoGuessing, he's got quite a popular YouTube. I think he's like 400,000 subscribers. He'd be playing these games, but he just happened to be really good at it and just quite popular. And then he did like this mission across Wales where he just walked across it in a straight line. I was going to do that with him as well, but my accounts were due that weekend, so I had to finish them off. Fucking nightmare.
Take the fine from HMRC, man.
Yeah, that would have been so worth it.
It was one of the best series on YouTube I've ever seen.
Jeez.
It reminded me of like YouTube in 2012, like it was so pure and just like just fucking great. It was so good.
Yeah, it wasn't a catchy thumbnail, it wasn't a catchy title, it wasn't some bare animated guy in perfectly edited software, just a guy going, right, I'm going to try and cross this place to this place in nothing but a straight line. Just that weird
way possible.
Oh, it's cracking.
One of my favourite parts is him literally crawling through hedges and just swearing at the branches.
I would love to do a real geo. I'm going to do one. We should do one.
We should do one.
And you, Sam, you're coming. Your camp's on you, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah. Sweet. They say for like podcasting, like appearing on other people's podcasts and sort of doing lots of like co-stuff, as in people listen to podcasts or people listen to podcasts. So if they hear you, they might listen to you kind of thing. And same with YouTubers, I guess. So because like, you guys quite similar domains. So like if you kind of did something with him, he did something with you, it sort of would like instruct each other probably. Anyway.
A few variables, a few things to think about if you're considering weaning yourself.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. Awesome. I'm working on my game. I want to be more like Mike, because then you know, you meet these people that are just like super happy the whole time. You're like, wait, how can you always be this happy? And I think you just sort of can like fake it to make it.
So there's something about his sense of like wonder and play. Like he was very playful. He enjoyed every moment. He didn't take himself or life too seriously. He knew he'd been through his struggles, but he had a beautiful family, a beautiful house that he made, and just enjoyed life. He took us around on his quad bike and we were like on kneeboards around him. I think that's, if we were just going to say anything about how to be that happy, those were kind of the key things in my mind. Was he just, he looked and felt and, yeah, literally felt light with life. Like he was very flowy.
Been trying to cultivate that a lot more. So I kind of feel like, you used to like ruminate a lot more and kind of get like moody about stuff for no real reason. And you realize that like, it's kind of everything's just within you, and happiness isn't really like a destination as such. It's sort of, you don't like hope that you can reach like your level of success on YouTube and then suddenly you'll arrive at being happy. It's sort of, it's the journey of getting there the whole time. Like you are you always. So you kind of need to.
Definitely. And I've been looking at and thinking about happiness a lot recently. I've recently started seeing a therapist. I'm on like my third session. And that's just been amazing for getting insight into how the mind works and what's kind of good thought process and what's bad thought processes. And is there good or bad thought processes, or is there more just healthier or unhealthier routes, or more positive and less healthier? And yeah, that's been very good actually. What kind of stuff have you been doing in that sense, Sam?
Have you heard of Vipassana meditation? It's like a 10-day insight meditation retreat where you literally don't talk to anyone. You're not allowed to look at people, and you sort of, you basically just explore your own mind for 10 days. And It gets very like deep, but you sort of examine all the things that make you you and sort of start to think about like why you react in some ways to different things, so like stuff that might make you moody or anything. You can realize that like, okay, it's not that other people are annoying, it's that you annoy yourself based on what they say. You let them annoy you. Or it's sort of, it's not actually whether someone's doing something stupid in like the car in front of you. It's your choice to get annoyed by that, and maybe there's a reason for them anyway. And you can kind of be a lot more patient with people, which makes you a nicer person towards others, but it's also nicer towards yourself. So there's usually, when someone starts getting annoyed at you, perhaps like there's probably a reason that there is something you've done wrong or something. And it's just so many ways to look at things and make a situation more positive if you are being positive, which is just great for everyone. So yeah, a lot of thinking around these things, and then also like impermanence of life and everything, and not really worrying or stressing too much, and just being kind of a bit more chilled out.
Exactly, like the first break of the YouTube channel in November, where we both had like 3 weeks off. He went Bali and I was looking at like meditation retreats, and I was also looking at the Camino de Santiago, so that the big pilgrimage walk takes about 40 days. But I've got a bad knee. I broke my femur about 10 years ago. I've got two pins and it hurts. So I didn't do that. But I went on a yoga and meditation retreat, which was quite cool. Like kind of on my own. And yeah, and I did fasting last week. I did a week of Ramadan fasting. So not eating or drinking for...
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about doing that. I've been in some other fasts. But yeah, I've been waking up in the morning and be like, oh, I've already got a headache and I need to drink. This is probably like, it's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, it was definitely very testing, especially when it came to business. Like my energies would be lower and I wasn't as productive, didn't get as much done. However, you know, like when you kind of think about appreciation and you look at maybe people in poor countries and who don't have food or drink, and you're like, oh, I'm glad I've got that. And it was the first time that I probably felt appreciation. Like it was 5 hours until I had to eat and I was annoyed that I couldn't eat. But then I was like, I'm lucky in being able to be annoyed not to eat. Like those guys aren't annoyed, they can't eat, they just cannot eat full stop, and they are looking for food. When I've got food around me, I can eat at any moment. And that was when I first kind of felt appreciation, but definitely probably the biggest feeling of appreciation I've ever had, to be honest. And so I think those kind of things that you mentioned of like 10 days meditation retreats and fasting, they do seem extreme, But it is, but in that extremity, if that is a word, you do kind of get a different perception of your own thought. You're taken out of what you know and your mental models, etc.
Definitely. I've done some other fasting things in lockdown. I spent 1 week just only eating porridge just to like just try doing something silly and be like, well, I don't have to. But I mean, who's done that? It's just like a bit of an adventure you can take yourself on just because you can, and gives you much greater appreciation for all the amazing different foods that you have on offer in Tesco's or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
I also tried cycling around Sea of Galilee. It was like a 100-mile thing, and I kind of ran out of water halfway around and decided to just not let myself have water, and got to like the last 10 miles and basically sort of collapsed and sort of crawled into a campsite and actually got water. But was so grateful for having water. And like, I mean, there's nothing stopping me from just stopping at the first shop around the thing to pick up a bottle of water, but I was just like, I wonder what will happen. Like, I've never been this dehydrated.
No, I like that though. Yeah, but why not? Eh? Why not test these things? Even if it does leave you crawling into a campsite, going, water, I need water.
But I think, like, as in, I'm on a road. Someone will stop if I end up collapsing in the road eventually, I guess. So it's not actually that dangerous.
Yeah, no, it's all right. It's not too bad.
It was super hot, to be fair.
Fair enough. Sounds more dangerous.
Yeah. Hindsight, but I probably wasn't thinking straight at the time when I did it. So.
Yeah, I'm probably delirious.
A little. I did a few like sort of selfie videos of like, I'm so hot. I don't know what I'm doing. Anyway, still going. But it's not really enough to put into a proper video.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I'm really thirsty. I'm really hot. I'm feeling a bit more delirious now. Good stuff. I see why you're related to GeoWizard now. I feel like it's the same kind of thinking. I'm going to walk in a straight line across the country.
Yeah, yeah. My mum and my aunt just like, what is wrong with our sons? I don't know. They aren't like us. Where did this come from? What's going on?
It's so funny when parents just... I've got just weird kids in like the creative sense of just stuff like that. It just seems so far normal or so far gone from what we imagine their upbringing being life like.
Good. Yeah, what have you guys been doing for fun actually in lockdown? Because yeah, there's all like the pub quizzes and stuff, but I've really enjoyed the more of like the stupid challenges. Have you guys tried doing any things? Because I lived with my one friend for a while and we just forced ourselves to like rap for 5 minutes a day. We just had to speak in rhyme and things like that. And like, have you done any like stupid games that have just been fun?
I tried walking Everest in the flat this week. I set off Wednesday, but
GeoWizard's cousin loves that.
Yeah, I undiagnosed, but my physio made it think that I kind of slightly ruptured there's like a thing on the side of your leg, a ligament. And I just couldn't. I gradually got worse and worse and worse until the point I climbed higher than Ben Nevis, but that's not a great video title. I spent like the whole day climbing up and down the stairs, and it only measures it when you go up. So
one day, yeah. I mean, we did with this Stuck Inside show. We did such like repeatable formats that we were just doing silly stuff all the time. So we do a talk show where me and Zach were presenting in the bath. We did a try not to laugh challenge where we just showed each other funny videos and tried not to laugh with water in each other's mouths. And then if you laugh, you'd spit. Yeah, what have we been doing? We did the rap thing where we'd pick a random item of our house and make a rap about it. And no matter what item was picked out, I'd always end up doing a severe diss on Zach. It'd be a severe diss track on that. Like, his girlfriend pulled that sock from a drawer and I still managed to just make Zach from my own sock. We were thinking about like testing earlier on the exercise stuff and like what could we do with exercise and like the hilarious ways we could do different exercise in a day. We've got these ab rollers and you can stand on it and it's almost like, you know, those Segway type things where it's just a wheel in the middle and two stand. And we were thinking, could we buy four or five of them and just go down the road like that with them in our hands and feet? Yeah, we have thought about a lot of different weird stuff we can do.
I think there's probably a video around now on living in exercise like we're kind of talking about.
Yeah, I think you could somehow like tie your shoes onto like the things of the other one and then just have that.
Yeah.
Or we walked for 24 hours in a straight line and we got to the coast or something. Like just seeing how far you can get in 24 hours of allocated government exercise.
Or walking nowhere for dead long, seeing where you end up. Can you camp? Do you know if you can camp at the moment?
Yeah, I've been thinking about doing that, but I mean, I don't see why anyone would care if you're sort of socially distant from everything.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like you're supposed to go back to your house, I think.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing, and it's getting back, maybe a bit of a bitch.
Yeah, it's not like you can hitch a ride at the moment. Maybe in the back of someone's truck.
Yeah, and even getting a taxi, like it's like we're trying. I think the reason why we didn't do the sports thing is like we just don't want to get too, like we don't want to, even though you can kind of push the rules a bit and you can do an exercise, so you could do contact with people and interview them. I don't know, we just don't, almost don't want to encourage people getting too relaxed around what you can and can't do and taking the. So like, yeah, we could get a taxi back, and that's probably within the law, but you just wouldn't want to. I think when creators start making videos outside, all the creators will think it's okay and start doing it as well. And there'll almost be a race because people are kind of struggling for content inside. So like, people will just start pushing it, really. Kind of influences to the general crowd as well. So then they'll start seeing it's okay from their favorite creators.
You could start a cooking channel.
Yeah, we made a full English breakfast blindfolded, which sounds pretty easy, but it's really hard. There's a couple of burns.
Yeah, I did like a press up challenge thing. Have you heard of the Moby Flower press up challenge? No. Well, it's just like a song, and it just bring Sally up, bring Sally down. Every time he says up, you go up, and down, down, and you just have to do it for the whole song, and it's just really hard. But I did that on the hour every hour for a whole week, and like, day two was hard, and then just got kind of really boring and long.
Just what the hell's going on? You just started like, oh yeah, I run an incubator in Bristol Uni, and now you're like, oh, I'm just doing these mental life-threatening challenges. You're dropping them in casually.
So it's just seemed kind of interesting. It was definitely, like, I can remember that week for sure. It was really weird, and like, it became like ritualistic, like, each hour, and annoyed the hell out of my sister's husband because it's just like a really annoying song to hear. And every different part of the house, one of my members of family would have found me doing press ups at some point and just had to like walk over me and just like, what is wrong with this kid?
I've been doing the Wim Hof every day for the past 22 days.
Yeah, what, you sound weird, man. That sounds fun.
Yeah, but I held my breath for 5 minutes straight the other day, like off the back of Wim Hof. Yeah, I've been topping out at around 3 minutes 20, and then one time I just went like fucking into another dimension. I don't know whether I pass out or what, but like the normal sounds, it's like a bell dings, kind of ritualistic bell dings every minute. And then Wim Hof goes, 2 minutes, keep going, and 3 minutes. And then I didn't hear it because I hadn't been past four, but he doesn't say 4 minutes. So then when the bell went, I was like, what's going on? Looked over at my phone, it's at like 4.5 minutes. And then like 5 minutes happened, and it was 5:02 that I needed to breathe again. Which is fucking mental.
Wow. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I should probably start pushing that again. I was a lifeguard, so I used to do a lot of like work on that. I could, you're supposed to like swim like 2 lengths underwater, but you used to get really bored because of, you just sit there for hours in the evening and it's just like a few old people or something, nothing going on. So I used to start like timing myself at the clock, or like I'd watch old people swimming and see how many lengths they could do whilst I held my breath. But one time I passed out and like I just woke up like in like the drains with a bunch of old people around me being like, are you okay, mate? And I'm there like, what the hell? Because when you pass out, it's kind of like you've been asleep. So it's like I'd woken up, but just sort of, I would happen to be at work with like old naked people all on top of me. It's just like, what the fuck is going on? It's such a surreal moment.
That's hilarious.
That is hilarious.
I like how this has just turned into story time.
I feel like I've learned a lot about you in this podcast. Normally we don't really, we kind of just get asked questions about ourselves, but been interested.
Yeah, and I am kind of curious about the stories behind the people that we chat to, like in the interviews and podcasts, but I don't know, I almost think their audience aren't that interested in always asking a lot of questions because maybe they've heard it before, and I don't know.
Yeah, to be fair. In some of the podcasts that I quite like, I just kind of got a bit bored of them because I sort of heard what they say every time, even though they have different guests on, they always seem to say the same thing.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's why Joe Rogan's, I think, is so good, because he just has such different conversations and goes so deep into such a breadth of things.
And goes off on a tangent.
Yeah, he's got very loose with it, and he doesn't seem to be very fixed in his mindset. He's very open to being wrong.
He's very open to being wrong about things, learning and stuff, which I think is kind of essential.
My economics teacher in college used to say what you mean and mean what you say, and he was just talking about like an economics graph. But I think it is quite important because, I don't know, when you speak, so much of it is like emotion. yet when people, especially in podcasts, are hearing, like, you feel like you communicate the message that you're trying to communicate, yet in the actual wording of it, it just doesn't sound that clear. And people in the podcast don't get the point that you're trying to make. I could have actually made that point then with what I just said, if people are like, what the hell is he on about? Because my wording isn't clear enough.
Yeah, it's a confusing point to make. You can be trying to ask a question, but don't quite say it clearly, but you can see that the guest kind of understands and then they'll just pick it up. But like, then listen back to it, you're like, wait, I just said some weird nonsense, but like, this person got it. And
it's stuff that, especially in like stuff that you say quite a lot, you assume that other people know it. My business mentor, who was on my old business, Unique Insights, used to say his biggest thing with founders when they were pitching to him, like to get investment, was what do you actually do? Because they just go over what they actually do as a business and they think it's super clear what they do. And it's on the website and stuff, but it's just kind of not. They talk about the value proposition, they talk about this, talk about that, talk about the strategy, but they don't talk about like what the business is and what the problem is and the core fundamentals that in the founder's mind are the simplest things, but in other people's mind is not or are not.
Once you know something, it's hard to know what it's like to not know it thing. And
Abraham Lincoln said, speaking is a shortcut to distinction, which is quite kind of cool. And there's also a guy who does, he's on Tim Ferriss's podcast. He runs Space Camp. He runs this
like
project manager.
Jason Fried?
Yeah, Jason Fried, that's the one. And he says the biggest thing that they look for when they employ people is their ability to write. And he says their ability to write coherently, concisely, is a direct reflection of how they think, and how they think is how they process things and how they make decisions. He just says that is super, super important when employing people. And I also find, interestingly, that when I read quite a lot, my thinking and speaking gets clearer. I don't know what that is. Like, I'm learning. I'm thinking, I'm bubbling away.
Definitely. I had like verbal dyslexia and was just super shit at speaking when I was young, but I'd read all the time, which has helped loads. But then also like practice, I think, from doing podcasts and then trying to do like stand-up comedy and like TED speech and stuff just forces you to do all these things and become better at stuff. It isn't instant, but you can kind of learn anything, even the things that you think you'd be shit at, which is a really nice thing to learn in life. One thing I wanted to ask about was, you said you broke your femur. I broke my femur last year and certainly affected my exercise and things.
What's the story behind that? Yeah. Sam, go on,
mate. Mine's pretty boring.
I was kite surfing and my foot like came out the front and it just like popped up. I was going super fast and like it basically just shattered. And so just in the water with this leg just like flopping around. And yeah, that was kind of quite awful. But now... Yeah, so it went into like three pieces, but like... three clean pieces, and so it was just like a bag of muscle really with some hard things in there but not at all connected. And yeah, there was like my hip, weird mess, and then like the straight bit that is the bottom part from your knee down that was sort of just still solid. And it was just like this really weird thing. I held onto my knee, but like between my knee and like hip, it was just nothing that's solid.
Did it hurt every time it moved? Like, I remember when I was in the ambulance, just going over the bumps and turning the corners, the femur was like, I think it was like rubbing.
It was awful. You don't realize, but basically without any structure in your leg, it's super heavy. If you just imagine like what the weight, it's like sort of like a few bottles of lemonade. Of like, it's just like liquid stuff, but there's nothing holding it up. So it just wants to sag into the floor the whole time. But like the bones are there and like things aren't supposed to be rocking around. So the leg didn't want to come off the floor because it was just heavy. And so every movement was just awful. And I kind of wanted to film it or something just to sort of show like the saggy weirdness of my leg. But I couldn't bring myself to actually force myself to make a movement to show it other than the times when they had to move
it.
Also, it's right near, it's one of the most dangerous bones to break, because it's right near a main artery, right?
Yeah, because I had no idea at that point. Like, so it was like, well, maybe I'm going to die or things. And
yeah, when the ambulance came to, I did it playing football, and the ambulance came to do the football, we gave me a load of oxygen, and then they got me in the ambulance, and they almost did a mini operation on me there, where they just straightened shit out, just gave me bare oxygen, and just like made sure that none of the things were hurting, and I was just in this ambulance fucking screaming. Imagine me playing football, breaking my femur, screaming, then going into the ambulance. The ambulance just waiting there for 10 minutes. And just me going, ah!
Yeah. Yeah, I had a little bit going on.
Did yours fully recover? Do you have any like pins or do you have a plate in
it? Yeah, I've got a big pin in it, but it's like a whole inch shorter now. I don't know what they did when they did the surgery, but it wasn't very well aligned. So I've been trying to go running, but I've ended up like straining my other leg because of, it's kind of like stepping up every time on the other side and stuff. And it's kind of weird. So I don't think I'm going to have a career in marathons anymore.
Yeah, I mean, mine's pretty messed up. Yeah, I've got two pins in it, and yeah, they stick out a bit on one side, so it kind of rubs that muscle. So I can't really do the squatting motion, which also means I can't really run, and going up the stairs kind of hurts. And they tried taking it out, the pins, which would have to, they just tried unscrewing it using like the head of a screw, but then they snapped off. So essentially it's like having a nail in without the thing just through the nail. So it just screws in. So then now it's like, do they shave off the end of it where it's sticking out, or do they drill around it and just like basically have a massive hole in my femur, which is absolutely kill. And it's kind of like breaking it again, really.
It does fill in though.
Yeah, I mean, it would fill in, but it would be like breaking, and it would take years and be about 8
They can take it out after like about a year, but then I wouldn't be able to do any sports for 3 months because of like I'll have the holes in my leg where the pin was and stuff. But
I think mine would probably be even longer than 3 months now. I think it would have been 3 months if they could just take them out easily, but now they'd have to drill them out probably a year plus. And that's like no walking and stuff for ages as well, I imagine. I'll probably get it done, to be fair. I'll probably get it done in like 5 years.
Yeah, it would have been convenient to get it done just before lockdown happened and just sit around at home for the next 6 months.
Would have been agony as well, though. To be fair, I mean, that was quite cool in that sense. Like, I just played a lot of RuneScape at the time. Just got a pair of dicks and progressed, but I just get Call of Duty on a Minecraft. I've never played it before, but it's like a stupid addictive game that just numb my mind. Yeah, just literally in your bedroom, no, nothing. You just can't worry about anything.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, because I had like 2 days before they did any surgery or something, I had no idea what was going to go on. I was in Spain, didn't really fully understand. And yeah, I was like, oh, maybe I'm going to be in a wheelchair the rest of my life or something, or like not have a leg. It's like, oh, it might not be that bad. I could be like Stephen Hawking. I could just do lots of writing or something useful, and like I'd be creative, and perhaps like having limitations is useful. But
yeah, positive swing around about, right?
Also, I was on lots of drugs at the time, so maybe that helped.
Yeah,
probably sparking some weird thoughts in your
head. Wow, man, that's agony, that though.
You have morphine?
Yeah. All the morphine. Certainly a strange place. As in, I don't know about you, but I was in so much pain that like even like listening to things or like having my eyes open was sort of too much extra stimulation already going on. And like I just, the people like were like, oh, we'll bring you some movies or something. I was like, fuck that. Then when I opened my eyes, I was just in my brain for like 3 days just trying to like ignore the rest of my body, basically. And pretty strange.
I was put on a ward where there was a guy whose right leg was shrinking, which was going to mean that he was probably going to spend his time in a wheelchair. There was another one who had, his leg was shrinking. One of his legs was shrinking. I don't know. He just had, but it sounds funny, but like it fucked him. He couldn't walk and shit.
It's like a spell.
Yeah. It was more like maybe eating away. But no, I swear it wasn't. And another one had lost his leg. And so I was the only one who had like a sure chance of, or not sure chance, but a chance of fully recovering. And everyone else was just trying to prevent him. And stuff like that. So that kind of helped. But yeah, they were kind of mental. They'd been there for months. I was only there for 5 days or something. And I remember one of the worst bits of pain was when I'd been in the ambulance, they'd taken me there, and to get me from like the stretcher, which would lift me off the football field, they had to like pull the bed sheets and straighten my leg, which was bent to like that. As it bent, just went, ah! And then everyone in the hospital was like looking at me and like, oh, you're right. But they're bad for me, but wow, that was agony.
Oh mate, yeah, they had to like change my ambulance at one point, which sucked. They had to like pick me up in a bed sheet to change the stretcher and things. And then like the worst thing was before the x-ray, because I was in a wetsuit, so they had to like take that off me and like lift the bottom part of my leg up to sort of bring the other bit up and things. And
wetsuit's probably about the hardest thing to get off as well.
Yeah, they didn't do a sensible job of it either. Like, they sort of cut off everything else and they kind of like put a mound to get under my leg. And you're like, why didn't you just sort of like cut that part and then do everything else? I don't. Yeah, it was really stupid. And I just spent a lot of time trying to laugh about the whole thing and being like, oh, yeah. I wasn't too happy. They didn't seem to take it too seriously until after the x-ray. And then literally like, the doctor ran, like I could see all of the people outside watching this thing. And like that face just all went like, whoa, shit. And they saw it and the doctor was like, Sam, your leg, it's broken. I'm like, yes, I know. Oh my god.
Oh, that's so,
I could have told you that.
That's so lovely.
Yeah, strange. Anyway, I like asking people about their earliest memories.
I've got a funny business thing that always sticks out to me that I never actually tell or like, I don't know, discuss. But it's quite a weird one, and it's business related. It's not like my first child or my best childhood memory, because I'd look like a weirdo who just loves business a bit too much if I said that. But I was on a ski trip, right, with school, and I was in charge just randomly of getting donations from every kid who was on the school trip to give to the teacher who organized it. And so I went around, and basically I started with and I'd write people's name down who donated. And so people would, instead of doing like 20 cent or 1 euro that people would normally chuck in, they'd get incentivized with having their name written down if they gave money. And then I started doing weird stuff like, oh, you get a smiley face if you do 5 euros. And then someone would go, oh, what do you get with 10 euros then? And I go, oh, you get 2 smiley faces actually with an exclamation mark. And so this list, I had such a long list with a load of different smileys and little weird little incentivizing things. And I ended up raising like 200 euros by the end. And the guy gets like big cigars, big bottle of whiskey. Everyone else gets one. And I just remember really thinking then, there is something about those little stamps and emblems and Reddit, you see it with karma. It's kind of maybe what informed the medals in some way that we sold. But yeah, I was very interested in that, of just very simply giving people meaningless incentives to part with their hard-earned cash.
Just do a Kickstarter for something. Perfect.
Once I peed myself because I was so cold.
When you were young or like recently?
It was, I don't know how old I was, but I was definitely young. Yeah, it was snowing out and I was freezing cold and I peed myself because it warmed me up. There you go. That's an excuse.
All right. I thought you should have peed yourself in reaction to like the cold.
No. I think I was desperate, but also like didn't kind of try and stop it once it started because it was warm.
That's why I like asking that question, just so many weird like strange things.
Yeah, shocking answers there on it. Wow.
Yeah, I can kind of relate though. I feel like I think I would have done that.
It does feel warmer than you think when you do with yourself, doesn't it?
Yeah. Especially when you're like surfing or something and you've got a wetsuit on. You're like, oh my god, it's just like I've got a hot water bottle in front of me.
It's like, you can't tell whether it's very bad or a great shower, can you? Like, it's a good idea in concept, but if it just all stays in your wet shorts and that carries around, it's not great. But who knows whether it gets out or not. Just nice.
Yeah. Okay, so top tips, no more peeing yourself when it's cold.
Exactly, yeah, unless you're home.
I learned a valuable lesson that day.
Unless you're near home. Yeah, if you're near home, you can get changed and have a hot shower quickly. But still, you've got to put in the wash, which isn't ideal, is it? That could... You've got to explain it. Yeah.
Anyway, it's been lovely talking to you guys and telling stories.
Good.
Now let's end. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. My goal for this podcast is to help make people happier and wiser. And I'm also working on a few other projects in the podcasting space to achieve the same thing. I run the Wiser Than Yesterday podcast with a friend, where we read and discuss a great non-fiction book a week. Talk about things like philosophy, psychology, the economy, self-improvement, and business. Books such as The Black Swan, Anti-Fragile, Invisible Women, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's a great resource. Most recently, I've been building an app, Syncify. It's really to level up your podcast experience. You can connect with your friends in the app and listen to the same things. So you can listen live in real time with each other or create shared playlists and catch up at your own pace. You learn so much more by discussing ideas with friends. It's really silly to listen alone. You can also discover and share brilliant episodes with ease without having to try and recommend podcasts in different apps and just it all getting lost and confused. So it's also good for combating isolation and mental health. I personally find social media quite antisocial and I just don't find it easy to reach out to friends to chat for no real reason, but I do love doing things with other people and listening to the same content means that I can naturally talk about the same things and it just gives me that friend time without going out of my way. So I really hope that it can help you and I just would love you to try out the beta version and help us build this and obviously do invite your friends. It's all about friends. So you can find out more about Syncify app by going to syncifyapp.com. Thanks for listening. Congratulations on listening to a whole episode of the Growth Mindset podcast. Before you race into another podcast, try pausing. Ask yourself, what have you learned? What could you change? How will you make that change happen? Did you press pause? Knowledge is useless without action. What did you learn? What should you change? and how will you make that change happen? You can tell us what you learned by contacting us through the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com, and feel free to connect with us or our guests, or just peruse the show notes. Our Instagram is @growthmindsetpodcast, or follow me @samjamsnaps for a daily reminder to stop using Instagram. If you enjoy random acts of kindness and want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon or leave us a review on iTunes, and you'll make me very happy. And with that, keep learning and keep growing.